So this morning we're going to be looking at the letters of John, and we're going to continue this series. Last week we opened it up, and so we're going to be looking at letters over the course of the entire summer. We're focusing in the month of June on the letters of John. We're focusing in the month of July on the letters of Peter, and then we're focusing in the month of August on the letters of Paul. And it's very interesting when you look at these letters from John, how they begin to show us how we can continue to live our lives and walk out what truth can really be. And that's what he begins to lay out, and he begins to illustrate throughout his throughout his writings to us. He's trying to help us understand how we can go from possibly being deceived, because there were all sorts of people in his day that were being deceived by how people were following Jesus. And now that Jesus had ascended into heaven and people were trying to live this life, there was all sorts of confusion as to how to do that. And so John begins to help bring clarity to the people that he's writing to, and in turn, he's helping us find clarity in how we can live out our relationship with God. The invitation from Jesus and his ministry when he lived and he walked the earth is he came to those people who were going to be his disciples, and he said, "Come, follow me." And he said that because he was going to be setting the example. He was going to begin to walk out this path, this life, as an example for his disciples and his followers and even people thousands of years later to walk. He sets this standard of living by the way that he acted, by the words that he said, by the ministry that he conducted, by the miracles that happened, and all of the things that were his character and his person. He lays them out for us, and he says, "I'm going to show you the way by the life that I'm living here on the earth." So he not only just showed us everything, he not only showed us what God looked like, but he also showed us what a person could look like. And so that's important when we look through the lens of what John is trying to give us here this morning. It's important that we look at that from a perspective of John is trying to help us to walk as close with Jesus as we can. And so he refers to this idea of our faith journey being a walk. Turn to somebody and say, walk. For most of us, if we don't have something that would call, if we don't have some kind of an injury, we don't have some kind of a disability, walking for us is something that you learn when you're little, and you just do. You don't really have to think about the walk that you really do. You go from one place, you go to the other. But you're really aware of walking when you're raising children, right? I remember raising, like our firstborn son, like he's getting to this point where he's crawling and he's pulling himself up on stuff. And then all of a sudden he starts to take his first steps. And so then like you're showing him off like, you know, the prize pig at the fair. It's like, "Hey, look at this," right? Like he's walking. I know it took those other kids like 2 years to walk, but like, look at him. He's really doing it. This is amazing. But then I made a discovery, like raising multiple children. We have four kids. By the time your fourth kid is around, you want them to remain immobile as long as possible. It's like, "Oh no, there's another one walking in this house." But I'll never forget my firstborn son. As he started walking, and as he got older, he began in his step to develop something that wasn't good. He developed this sort of turn in on his foot where as he walked, he would begin to turn his foot in. And all of a sudden, he began to start complaining, and he became to kind of almost start walking with a limp. And people were like, "Hey, what's really going on?" I'm like, "I don't know. I guess he kind of turns his foot in." And so we had it looked at, and we had him go through some therapy for it. And as he began to go through that therapy process, it really started to hit me that like this is something that isn't going to go away for him. And that over the course of his life, he'll probably always have to make a conscious effort to not allow his foot to turn in so that he can walk straight, so he can have good posture, so that he doesn't have pain in his knees or whatever it might be, and how he should really be focusing on this he's going to have to focus on this for a long period of time. And as he began to grow in that, as he began to train himself to walk the way that he needed to walk, he still, even though it's been years now, he still to this day needs some of those reminders to help him walk the way he needs to walk so that he doesn't walk in pain and he can do the things that he wants, play sports and all those things. And the same is true with what John is trying to help us understand with our Christian walk, is that, you know, when you see babies and they're starting to walk and they start to take their first steps, you don't have to teach them to really walk. They just kind of figure it out. They kind of watch. They kind of take those steps, and it becomes really easy. And so for us, like, I think that my son represents a lot of what we go through in our faith journey. Because when you first are introduced to a relationship with God, it's kind of easy to take those steps. You know, there's a lot of momentum around you. There's things that are happening. And so you begin to take these steps, and you're going, and you're like, oh, this is all good. But there's often gets to a point in our relationship with God where we begin to develop things that need to be addressed. We develop things maybe of how we view God, maybe how we begin to walk out our faith journey, or we develop things in our life that maybe could be unhealthy habits that would pull us away from where God wants us to be into our own way. And John's writing is this idea that there's therapy for us, i.e. the Bible, and we'll talk about that in a second, that this therapy for us is that we could correct those things and walk in such a way that we're living in the truth. Turn to somebody and say, truth. So John is all about this idea that we can establish in our life this element and this idea of truth. And truth for us is huge, because it means that living in truth means that we're living in an authentic relationship with God. And I know that the word authentic is kind of a buzzword, or it's a cliche word when it comes to our relationship with God, but living authentically will allow us to walk out what God has for us on a daily basis. And whether you're brand new, you're a brand new Christian, or whether, like me, you've been doing your best to serve God your whole life, there are always things for me that as I read the scriptures, that they always find a way to correct some of my thinking or my behaviors or my life or my ministry. And so it's good for us to look at these and to hear what John is saying to us. And so let's do that. Let's look at 1 John chapter number 1. Start reading in verse 5. Before we get there, the word walk, when he is going to be referring to this idea and this word walk, it means to make your way or conduct yourself. To either make your way or conduct yourself. So it isn't so much just about the physical journey that you're on, but it's about your spiritual journey. How your life is conducted, how your thought process is conducted. 1 John chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 5. It says, this is the message we heard from Jesus, and we now declare to you. So what's John doing in this first part? He's taking the step to say, hey, there's all sorts of these other things that are going on, and I want to help bring you some clarity, because these are things that we heard from Jesus. He says, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. It's going right into verse or chapter 2. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. So, John's trying to help us understand the idea and the concept of truth, which is authentic fellowship with God. He's speaking to people who, as he reveals, are under the illusion of truth, but they are living in darkness. How does this happen? Well, it happens a little bit like this. we, instead of being open with God about whether it's our sin, whether it's our struggles, maybe it's our fears, maybe it's about our anxieties, maybe it's about any of the things that could allow us to walk in darkness, instead of being open with God, we hide those things from God in the darkness. You see, the light of God either illuminates our life and we become an open book to God, which is sort of that definition of being an authentic, of having authentic faith, is that it doesn't mean that we never mess up and we're perfect. It means that we are open with God and that we aren't living in darkness, claiming that we're living in light. There's righteousness, there's wickedness, there's distinctions between those two, and we are, as Christians, called to live in such a way that we aren't hiding those things from God, claiming to be in the light. It's like my children. If I walk in on my child doing something that's naughty, you know, that they're, you know, my three-year-old is like the thing, like if he's doing something and he's not supposed to do, you know, his thing is like he likes to, I don't know where he finds these, he loves to find like markers. Permanent markers are his favorite. But like to him, all of the walls in our house are just a blank canvas for all of his ideas. So he'll find markers and he colors all over the walls. And it's like I'll walk in on him and he'll color on the wall and then he'll back up and try to cover it up. And it's like, hey, why are you coloring on the walls? I'm not. It's like, yes, you are. And it seems silly, right, to think that he would be able to cover up what he's done, this huge mural on the wall where he's with his tiny body is trying to cover it up. But we do that stuff all the time with God. We say, you know, God, I'm good with coming to church. I'm good with you know, listening to some Christian music every once in a while, and I'm good with coming to church, but you can't have access into like the deepest parts of my life. I'm gonna try to cover those things up. And God's like, I see him back there. Why won't you let me at them? But we try to hide. John is saying that when we do that, we're not living in the truth. We're living a lie. It says that you're living in a lie by saying, yeah, I'm good with that light stuff. I'm good with following the path that God has for me. I'm good with that. But we make no effort to be open with God. We make no effort to say, God, there's these things, there are these sins that are in my life. I need to confess those things. The scripture just told us he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. I mean, imagine a God who knows what we do and still forgives us of those things. That's the grace and the mercy and the power and the saving grace of Jesus Christ, is that he's willing, he can look at all of our writing behind us, all of the coloring on the wall, and we could be trying to hide it, and the moment we say, you know, God, you're right, I need to get rid of this, he washes it away. So for us, walking in the light means that we're open, means that when we fail, we correct. And we don't live, and we don't try to live in the darkness, claiming to be in the light. In John's day, there were a lot of people living in this situation. Because if you're living in the darkness, claiming to be in the light, you're living in illusion, right? Because you think you have authentic faith, but you really don't. And so John's trying to help us understand that the process of living in truth means that we become open and honest with God. So, last week we opened up the idea, and it's this quote by a preacher named Charles Spurgeon that said that the best way to expose a crooked line is to draw a perfectly straight line right next to it. And so John begins to draw these lines and begins to show us how we can walk these out. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at what these lines are and how they exist and how we can walk them out. So the first one he's talking about is light, and we've already started this. But I want us to think about what that light really means for us, because it is all that is good with the absence of evil. If living in truth is authentic, and we're going to walk this out, it means that we're walking in things that are good. Scripture talks about how whatever is good, whatever is just, whatever pleases God, think on these things. Keep your minds on things that would honor God. Keep your mind on things that would honor God. Keep your life doing things that would glorify God. Keep your actions free of all of these things that would become destructive. And if we notice in our life that we're walking with a little bit of a limp, we're walking with something that is going to cause pain in our life, that we correct those things. And it might not even be something that we just decide once to do and is fixed. It might be something we have to work at correcting every day. And that's how we can live in this truth. And walking in light means that we have to watch how we conduct ourselves. That's what it talked, remember? The word walk in this case means how we conduct ourselves. And if we're looking to how we conduct ourselves, we go back to what Jesus said to his disciples. Right? Hey, why don't you come and follow me? So Jesus, with his life, sets the tone. He sets the course for how to live. And so it for us reveals to us when we've gone off course. It reveals to us if we are choosing to walk in darkness when we would say that we're walking in light. I like to think about it like this, and maybe this will help us understand it a little better. I've done some music lessons with kids over the years, and I've taught kids instruments until I can't, my limited knowledge, you know, they graduate out of me teaching them. And so I teach them some drums and guitar and some different things. And usually, like, kids get really excited once they start to be able to play some things. And I'm excited for them, too, and I usually encourage them. And I say, you know, now that you're playing something, you're playing a beat on the drums, we need to really work on your tempo. Your tempo's off. And usually, I'm like, they look at me like, no, it's not. It's really good. I'm like, okay. So we have this thing called a metronome. And a metronome is going to electronically give us little clicks over and over and over in perfect succession so that we can know whether or not our tempo is right or it's wrong, whether we are off or how we need to correct it. And so I'll play that for them. I'll have them play, and really quickly reveals to them how bad their tempo is, right? But that metronome is a good thing for musicians because it allows for musicians to stay within parameters that would be acceptable for easy listening, right? If your tempo was all over the place and you couldn't find it, it just wouldn't be right, which is why even on our stage, you see all these people up here, and they have little ear things in, they have little in-ear monitors, they have that tempo going in their head over and over. So there's a click happening in their ear so that they can stay on tempo. For us, when it comes to our walk with God, Jesus sets that tempo and sets that metronome with not just a concept, not just an idea, not just something that he put in Scripture, but he sets that with his life and then calls us to follow him. That's why the idea of a relationship with God, following in the footsteps of God, is not something that can just be something that we could attain one day. It's about following what Jesus showed us through his life. And that's huge for me because I can read the story of Jesus through the Gospels and see that he began to show me through his life a way to live. We addressed the fact that he showed us not just who God was, but he showed us who I could be as a person. And he did that through his life. Jesus shows us that through his life and then gives us the ability to correct that through his word. And so if we're looking at this book as just a book of concepts, just a book of rules, just a book of regulations, then we're looking at it all wrong. Because this book allows our lives to have small course corrections to follow the path that God has for us so that we can continue to walk in the light. Walking in the light does not mean we never sin. It just means that we don't make choices to live in sin, hide it from God, and claim to be in the light. Is that making sense? So it means that we live authentically. It means that we walk out truth. It means that we take steps to honor God with our life, and how we conduct ourselves becomes to be important. So, some facts that we have to consider when it comes to walking in rhythm with God is that Jesus came to save us from sin, death, and evil. And so it means that when we choose to live out those practices, when we choose to allow those things to overwhelm our life, we're choosing not to accept that forgiveness that God offers. Choosing to accept that forgiveness that God offers through his son Jesus, through his death on the cross, means that we are in our minds focusing and doing our best to walk that out in a real and a genuine way. Again, it isn't complicated. All it takes for us is to be open with God, to stop hiding the wall art projects and say, God, I want to be an open book. If I mess up, I want to be there to say, God, I need your help with this. God, I've got something happening with my walk with you that I need to address, and maybe I need to address it every day, but I'm going to work tirelessly to find what you want for my life. That allows us to grow closer and closer to him. Because we are his children, we share his nature. Because we are God's children, we share in his DNA, which means he gives us the image of how we can present our lives, how we can conduct our lives. And so when we are living our life should reflect or be a mirror image of the life that Jesus lived. Not necessarily in exact form, but in the same character and in the same way that we would conduct ourselves. People should be able to look at our lives and recognize that there is a difference, recognize that there is a change. And this is where the rubber kind of meets the road, is how it can go from just saying, hey, you need to follow Jesus, to really living it out and people being able to recognize just, you know, and it should be something that is second nature to us. I was at a baseball game with my son. I'm coaching my son's baseball. The other coach comes up to me and he's like, hey, that's your boy, isn't it? I was like, yeah, it is. He's like, you guys look just like each other. That should be happening in our spiritual lives too. That our life should reflect the life of Jesus. Jesus calls us, come, follow me. It's not a complicated call. It's just simple, but it requires that we release some of the things that would be holding us back by trying to hide. It seems so silly that we would hide our sin, hide our darkness, hide those doubts, hide those fears from God, but we do it every day, don't we? Because it's in our nature to want to hide those things away so that we wouldn't be put in a place where we feel like God would judge us or God would punish us for doing something wrong. God is not waiting to punish us for doing things wrong. He just simply waits for us to walk in the light. He's waiting with forgiveness to help us. And so I'm going to read it again so that we can get the idea. This should be something that is always present in our minds. In 1 John 2 and verse 1, it says, my dear children, I'm writing this so that you will not sin. John's encouraging us. Don't knowingly take those steps and then claim to be in the light. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. So, John's writing us to let us know that there will be times where our life is not perfectly lined up with the metronome of the life of Jesus. But when we can correct and when we can repent and when we can walk out his calling for us, it isn't about following rules, it's about following a way of life that Jesus laid before us. Living with hope, living with purpose, living and taking each opportunity to share your life with others rather than to hide your life from God. Jesus lays that out for us. And he begins to reveal that through Scripture. And as we make this Scripture a part of our life, it begins to direct how we act and, like John is talking about when it comes to the way we walk, how we conduct ourselves and how we are able to listen for the voice of God in our lives. I'm going to apply it this way. I have several friends and some neighbors and some people that I know that are in law enforcement. And one particular police officer had come to me a while back and he said, you know, Aaron, you really ought to do a ride along with me. And I was like, yeah, that sounds fun. You know, chasing bad guys, getting in gunfights. Obviously, I was very naive to what a police officer does. And so, like, we're sitting there and, like, it's, and so I get there finally. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And so I'm sitting there and I'm sitting in the front seat. And, like, we're just, at this point, we're just, like, waiting for people to speed. And it's like, why are people speeding? You know, it's like people need to speed more so we can pull them over and like do something. And so I'm just sitting there and I'm like, man, you're doing this wrong. Like you need a cooler full of like snacks and drinks. Like you need to like this, like you could just, this could be a really fun job. He's like, snacks and drinks are a really dangerous road. And so we're sitting there and I'm like, oh, you know, this is kind of fun. I'm hanging out with my friend. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm just like, you know, it just seems like it's really quiet today. And he goes, oh, we don't say quiet. We don't say slow. We don't say any of those things. I'm like, oh, why not? He goes, well, now you're going to jinx us. And so, lo and behold, it's not just but a few minutes later that stuff starts crackling on the radio. And there's this radio in this squad car. You know, it's got a very small speaker. And I don't understand anything this woman on the dispatcher is saying. She's calling out a lot of numbers, calling out a lot of things, and I'm just like, I have no idea what she's saying. So all of these things are coming through, and I was like, oh, hey, that sounds like maybe something's happening. Are we going to go do something? No, don't worry about that. Okay, oh, how about that one? Is there something there? No, don't worry about that one. And so there's more chatter, and there's more stuff that's going on, and we're waiting around, and we're doing things, and all of a sudden, something chatters on the radio. And all of a sudden, it's like, he's throwing that car into gear, and we're flying down the road. And I was like, we got something here. Here we go. Gunfight at the OK Corral. All right. So we get over there. We get to this other traffic stop, and they end up having to arrest someone. And so they're doing this whole thing, and they're searching him. They're doing all this stuff. And I'm just like, wow, this is just like the cop shows, except it isn't condensed into a five-minute thing. It takes hours. So my friend is like, hey, so they arrest this person. Like, why don't you just wait in the car with Aaron? I'm like, now he knows my name? So they sit him back there, and like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, there's somebody in the back seat. So like, I did what anybody would do. I just like went on my phone and hoped somebody called me. And I was just going to have to be like, I'm going to have to take this call. I'm going to have to get out of this car. So I'm locked in here with this person. I don't know what to say. What do you say? Like, what are you supposed to say? Like, you don't say anything. You just sit there. So I just sat there. And so we had to end up taking this person to jail. We drove all the way down to jail. It took really long. I had left my car back at the station. And I had to be like, I needed a ride from there to back to my car. And so I called my dad, Pastor Paul. And I was like, hey, Dad, can you pick me up from the jail? He's like, okay. And I said, I'll explain later. He's just like, there's just a lot of silence on the other side of the phone. So he picks me up, and the person who was arrested ended up asking my friend, hey, who was that random guy in the front seat? The one thing I took away from this ride-along in the afternoon, one afternoon, was the fact that my friend was able to distinguish one call in the midst of all of the other things that were happening. In the midst of watching people for doing violations, all the things that he was trying to watch for, listen for out of this small little speaker that was, to me, shouting out a bunch of gibberish, he was able to distinguish that moment that he needed to act. And he didn't do that because, you know, he's a really good listener or because he's got incredible hearing. He did that because he's experienced. He's been there before. He's heard the calls before. He knows when he needs to do what he needs to do. And there's going to come times in our life where we're going to really need to be in that moment. There's crises that happen in our life. There are things that happen in our life that are sometimes beyond our control. And if we're living in darkness, thinking that we're in the light, I'm going to tell you right now, you won't hear the call when you need to. You won't act when you feel like you need to. But if we're walking in the light, John's trying to help us understand, and get this, that if we're walking in the light, if we're following in the footsteps of Jesus, then when the moment comes that God is going to speak, to direct our lives, to be help or to be hope or to help give our lives for something, then we'll be ready to act. We'll be listening for his voice. We'll be led by his word. Whether he's speaking to us through his holy scriptures or whether he's leading us with his voice, we'll be ready because our walk will not be one of illusion, but it will be a walk of authenticity and of truth. Would you stand with me this morning as we close? I want to pray for each person here that our walk with God would be genuine, would be authentic, and that we could walk in the light and not live out an illusion. Let's pray. God, I thank you for each person here. God, that as your word just said, God, that you want us to walk in the light. So God, if we're living an illusion, that we think we've got something we don't, God, help us to correct. Help us to walk in your truth. Help us to walk out your path. God, help us to not hide anything. Help us to be an open book, to be open about our struggles, to be open about our faults, to be open about our failures, to be open about our doubts. God, it's only with the faith and the courage that you give us that we can do this. So we ask for it, and we believe that you'll give it to us right now, in Jesus' name. Now, if we would be here and you would say, you know, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've not done that before, but today you want to make that decision real for you. You want to make that choice for yourself to say, I want to begin this journey with God. I want to begin this walk with God. And you have not prayed that prayer before, we want to pray with you. And I want to ask that you would just raise your hand right now if that's you, to say, yeah, that's me. I want to take that step. I want to follow God's plan for my life. All right, Lord, help us this week to bring hope to people. Help us, God, to see your light in our life. Help us, as we pursue you, God, that you would give us the strength to overcome adversity, to give us faith in the midst of doubt, to give us grace and mercy when we need it most. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being here today. You can be dismissed if you'd like prayer for anything. We'll have people up front who would love to pray for you.